All right, everyone, I'm now starting our recorded lecture on 11 a.m., June 24th, 2020. We've been practicing the first four adult units, which are alphabet, rhythm, greetings, and classroom. This morning, you practiced some or all of these in your breakout sessions. Just before our last break, I was talking about some of the pronunciation issues that we're having. I discussed the difficulty with pronouncing consonant clusters at the ends of words, especially, for example, sutwak and shahyutk, which are in our central and northern conversations. Sutwak, is that you? Sutwak consists of two syllables. Sutwak. The K at the end of the word is released, but it has no vowel next to it. Sutwak. Similarly, shahyutk. Are you okay? Shahyutk. The K at the end of the word is released but has no vowel. The word shahyutk has two syllables. We talked about the word uukuk. Uukuk, nice weather, nice land. This is difficult to pronounce because it has a Q and a K in it. Uukuk. Uukuk. In my experience, those of you whose first language is English will not be able to hear the difference between the Q and the K, but you can learn to pronounce the difference. So that's what I recommend to you, that you put forth the effort and practice to learn how to pronounce Q and K differently. Do not be dismayed if you cannot hear the difference. After a few months or years, you might start to hear the difference some of the time. But it takes dedication. With the words ohatak, ohatlah, these are very, very frequent sentences in Barkley Sound dialect. They're in our greetings conversations. Ohatak, is that you? Ohatlah, it's me. And we had a little mini lesson from Randy Lee this morning on the how to pronounce ohatak, ohatlah. Randy Lee broke them down into syllables for us, and this is key because the barred lambda in ohatak, ohatlah is syllabified differently in the two words. In ohatlak, the barred lambda is at the end of the second syllable. Ohatlak. In ohatlah, the barred lambda is at the beginning of the third syllable. Ohatlah. You can see this if you break down the syllables, pronounce it carefully by syllables, and then put it back together. You might need to do this in writing at first, but as I've said, all of our goal should be to be able to break words into syllables automatically off the top of our heads without writing. This is a simple skill, but can take a little time to develop, and it will go a long way towards making your new channel sound more natural. I started to mention word building as an exercise. I will be saying a lot about word building throughout the course. Word building is one of the key techniques that I use and that I try to teach to other people to get them to speak Nutchanoth better. Nutchanoth is a language that linguists like to call polysynthetic. Polysynthetic means that Nutchanoth words tend to be quite long, but sentences tend to have only a few words. In fact, most Nutchanoth sentences are just one word long. Most Nutchanoth sentences consist of one long, complicated word. This, generally speaking, Nutchanoth puts more material into a word than English does. This is one of the biggest barriers towards building fluency in Nutchanoth, is learning how to make these big words fast enough so that you can actually speak at a normal speed. And the best tool that I've found in my learning to do this is word building. To put it briefly, word building means in order to learn to say a big word, you start with the word's root and then add one ending at a time until you build up the entire word. Let's take one of our greeting sentences as an example. I'll see you later. In central dialect, this is Oyiaksish Natsi chitsutil. Oyiaksish natsi chitsutil. I will see you later. The first word of that sentence is oyiaksish. Oyiaksish. This word has three meaningful parts. The root is oyi. To build this word, I would start with oyi. Oyi. Oyi means at that time. The next bit of the word is akt, which is a future ending. Oyiakt. Oyiakt means at that future time. The next bit of the word is sish. Oyiaksish. Uyaksish. Sish means I, strong mood. The whole word means I will in the future, or I will later. Uyaksish. Let me build that word again. To build that word, I would say uyi, uyiakt, uyiaksish. Uyi, uyiakt, uyiaksish. I have just built that word using what I call the word building technique. The word building technique does lots of good things for your fluency. First of all, it teaches you that all three of these words that I just said are words that you might use in some sentence. Uyi is a word, uyiakt is a word, and uyiaksish is a word. All of these will be used at one time or another. Second, going through these steps trains your brain to do it faster. When you do it for the first time, you do it slowly. It takes a lot of effort. The more you do it, the faster you can do it. When you're actually speaking Nuchanoth at fluent speed, you need your brain to build these words for you without having to think about it. Doing a word building exercise trains your brain how to do that. As I said, I will be saying a lot more about word building, but I've just given you word building in a nutshell. As I mentioned at the beginning of our course, we are starting with a speed of 4 units per week. This is a very fast learning speed. I also said that we might not do this for the entire course. So we might find in the third or fourth week that this is way too fast and we need to slow down and cement our learning a bit before we expand on it. But for now, we're keeping that pace. Today is the third day of the course, so this is the last day that we will be discussing units 1 through 4. I'm gonna say some things to review all of these units. Then we're gonna have a little bit of practice at the end of today, and then we're gonna start with four totally new units on Friday. I will be stretching out the introduction of the alphabet. We've already discussed vowels, common consonants, C's and S's, and L sounds. The next group of sounds that we're going to talk about is the tongue back sounds. That is K, round K, Q, round Q, X, round X, back X, and round back X. We're looking at the central dialect alphabet summary now. I'm going to go down to the example words for K. So I'm going to go through the K's, Q's, and X's. Please repeat after me. K says k, as in kook, kook. Round K says kwa, as in kwistoop, kwistoop. Q says kha, as in kawi, kawi. You might not be able to hear the difference between K and Q, but based on the information we've covered so far, you should be able to pronounce the difference between the K in kook and the Q in kawi. Kawi. Round Q says kwa, kwa, as in quinny, quinny. Front X is said in the same place as K, except that it's a spirant sound. K is a plosive, k, k, k. Front X is a spirant, h, h, h. It helps some people to think that it sounds a bit like a cat's hiss. Hsh. When we imitate a cat's hiss, we usually make a front X sound. Hsh. Front X says h, as in h-oomen. H-oomen. Round front X says hwa, hwa, as in hwak you, hwak you. Hwak you. Back X is the same as front X except further back. Back X, another way to put this is that back X is the spirant version of Q. Just like front X is the spirant version of K, back X is the spirant version of Q. Back X says h, h, as in h-hush-kuk, h-hush-kuk, h-hush-kuk. Round back X says hwa, 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 as in mohoshkin, mohoshkin, mohoshkin. I pointed out earlier this week that something that all of the back of the tongue sounds have in common, that is the K's, Q's, and X's, is that they are the only sounds in the language that can be rounded. We have a round, plain K and a round K, a plain Q and a round Q, a plain X and a round X. These are the only sounds. The back of the tongue sounds are the only ones that can be rounded. Other sounds in the language are only plain, only unrounded, that is. The next group of sounds that I'll be talking about is the throat sounds. There are only four throat sounds in Nuchonal. They are H, back H, glottal stop, and pharyngeal stop. We'll start with the H's. Plain H is one of the common consonants, so you already know how to say it from English. H says huh. Huh, as in husman, husman. Back H is a rougher sound. Huh, back H is also a pharyngeal sound. The pharynx is the part of the throat above, just above the vocal cords. The back H and the pharyngeal stop are both made at the pharynx. The difference is that the pharyngeal stop is a plosive, whereas the back H is a spirant. When you make a back H, you are flexing the root of your tongue to close your throat. That's why it's noisy. It's noisy because the narrower opening that the air has to go through makes a noisy, raspy sound like this. Ha, ha, ha. The back H is significantly noisier than the plain H. The plain H is a very weak sound. It's sometimes nearly inaudible, and you might notice that several Nuchonal names that have been borrowed into English have an H in Nuchonal, but the H has vanished in English. Hisawista is a Tlokwe village. Hisawista on the west coast of the island. In Nuchonal, Hisawista starts with an H. Hisawista, Hisawista. But in English, we spell it without an H. It's spelled Esow, Esawista. That shows us that the first English speakers who heard that name did not hear the H because the Nuchonal H is such a weak sound. It's weaker than the English H. Another example is Hitutsu. Hitutsu is the main village of the Ukulut people. In Nuchonal, it starts with an H. Hitutsu, Hitutsu. But the first English speakers in that area did not hear the H, and they wrote the name ITT. Atsoo, as itatsu. That shows how what a weak sound the plain H is. The back H, on the other hand, is a much louder sound. It's not only loud, it's very common. It's found all over Nuchonal. Speakers of other languages, for speakers of other languages, this is one of the main things they notice about Nuchonal. And when DT Dots make fun of Nuchonal speakers, they talk about how they sound like they're puffing, huffing, and puffing all the time because of all the back H's. Ha ha ha. Nuchonal people, on the other hand, think that DT dots sound like they have a bone stuck in their throat because they have a lot more back H's. H-h-h-h. So, in order to pronounce Nuchonal properly, you're going to need to learn to pronounce the back H. We talked yesterday about how it's also an effortful sound. It takes effort to say the back H. Ha. You might find yourself getting tired after pronouncing Nuchonal for 10 or 20 minutes because of all the back H's you're pronouncing. I've been speaking Nuchonal for almost 10 years now, and I still find it tiring pronouncing my back H's. I've just learned that I need to put forth that extra effort. My English accent tells me that I don't want to put forth that effort. I have to force myself to do it. let's compare plain and back H again, and then we'll move on. Plain H says huh, as in husman, husman. Back H says huh. As in hayu, hayu, hayu. Let's move down to the glottal stop and pharyngeal stop. The glottal stop is used in English, but we never write it. The glottal stop is simply a closing and opening of the vocal cords. It sounds like this. My name, Adam, is written starting with an A in English, but it actually starts in a glottal stop. Adam starts in a glottal stop. In English, we do not write that sound, but in Nuchonal, we do. Our example word for glottal stop is ama. 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 Pharyngeal stop is very similar to glottal stop, but it adds a tightening of the pharynx. So the pharyngeal stop is made in the same place as the back H. The difference is that it's not aspirant, whereas the back H involves a loud hissing through the pharynx. Ha, ha, ha. The pharyngeal stop involves tightening the pharynx while making a glottal stop. It sounds like this. Ah, ah, ah. It sounds very similar to being strangled. When someone's strangling you, they're closing your throat with their hands. When we make a pharyngeal stop, we're purposefully tightening our throat by flexing the root of our tongue. The method is different, but the effect is the same. It makes you sound kind of like you're being strangled. Ah, ah. In our alphabet summary, I say that it sounds like a catch plus R. This is just a very quick summary of what it sounds like to remind people. Let me explain what I mean by that. The English R sound sounds like this, ruh, ruh. It's actually a very unusual sound, and it's one of the sounds that people learning English as a second language have the most trouble with. Often, that's the first clue that someone is not a first language speaker of English because they can't pronounce the English R. Try saying an English R and feel what you're doing when you say it. Rrr, rrr. You should feel a tightening in three places: in the lips, in the tongue, near the roof of the mouth, and at the base of the throat. Rrr, rrr. What this means is that the English R has a pharyngeal component. The English R actually includes a bit of the neutronal pharyngeal stop. And one of the tricks for learning how to pronounce the pharyngeal stop is to start with the English R and subtract everything that is not a pharyngeal stop. So first you need to subtract the lips because the neutronal sound does not use the lips. Second, you need to subtract whatever you're doing in your upper mouth because neutronal does not use that either. You need to only keep the pharyngeal part of the R. The English R sounds like this. If I subtract everything but the pharynx, I'm left with ah, ah, and that's basically the neutronal pharyngeal stop. That's all I want to say about the alphabet today. So we've now covered the vowels, common consonants, C's, S's, and L's, tongue back sounds, and throat sounds. We've now covered most of the sounds of the alphabet. The only ones we still have to do are all the glottalized sounds. Those will be the most difficult, and we'll leave them for later in the week. Any questions before we move on? We just had a question asking to repeat what I said about comparing the English R to the neutronal pharyngeal stop. Charlotte, what you just said is exactly right. The English R has three components, one at the lips, one at the tongue back, and one in the pharynx. If you subtract the one at the lips and the one in the back of the tongue, you're left with the pharyngeal part of the English R, which is very close to the neutronal pharyngeal stop. I found that helpful when that was pointed out to me. Some of you might not find that helpful, in which case I suggest you do with it all of the what you do with all of the unhelpful advice you hear, which is to forget it. I'm now going to move on to talk about mood. So I'm going to bring up the beginner's mood guide to as a visual aid while we talk about it. As I mentioned yesterday, mood is a very important category in Euchonolth. It is very unimportant in English. You all speak English fluently, and probably none of you, or almost none of you, could explain to me how mood is used in English because it has so little function in the language. But in Euchonolth, it's exactly the opposite is true. Mood is entirely fundamental to the structure of the Euchonolth sentence. You cannot speak Euchonolth without an understanding of mood. The basic function of mood in Euchonolth is to complete the sentence. A complete sentence in Euchonolth consists minimally of a predicate and a mood ending. That's the minimum you need for a complete sentence in Euchonolth. If you don't understand what a predicate is, don't worry, we'll be talking about it a lot more towards the end of this week. There are about 20 moods in Euchonolth. The reason for that is that Euchonolth uses mood for so many things. It's a very efficient way of communicating certain things about a sentence. Here are some of the things that mood tells us about a sentence. First, it tells us whether the sentence is a statement, question, or command. So we have separate moods for statements, for questions, and for commands. Second, the mood tells us the person of the subject of the sentence. The subject is the person or thing that the sentence is about. And there are six persons that the subject can belong to. Those persons are I, you, he, she, it, we, you all, and they. If you look at the beginner's mood guide, you'll see that these six persons are listed in the left margin. I, you, he, she, it, we, you all, and they. Let's look at a particular mood as an example. Let's start with the real mood, which is the first one on the beginner's mood guide. The real mood is used in Barclay Sound dialects to make statements of fact. Some statements of fact in the conversations we've learned so far are Oh Atlah, it is me, fact. Oh Atlah, Chachimhimah, I'm okay, fact. Chachimhimah, Uu Kokma, it's a nice day, fact. Uu Kokma. The first two sentences, Oh Atlah and Chachimhimah, have the I ending of the real mood. Do you hear how those two words have the same ending? Oh Atlah. Those two sentences have the same ending because they're both statements about I. Now compare those to u'u kokma. U'u kokma is also a statement of fact, but it's about an it. We're talking about the weather, which is an it. Therefore, we use the ending ma. Same mood, different person. U'u kokma. It is a nice day. Where Barclay Sound dialects use the real mood, Central and Northern dialects use the strong mood. So, for example, in a Central dialect, when I say it is I will say si'yak sish, si'yak sish. I'm using sish, which is the I ending of the strong mood. Similarly, shah yutsish, I'm okay. Shah yutsish uses the same ending. I am okay. U'u kuk ish, it is a nice day. U'u kuk ish, also a statement of fact. Same mood, strong mood, but a different person. The person of U'ukukish is it, because we're talking about the weather. U'ukukish. The third mood that we want to discuss first is the question mood. If you compare the question mood endings in Barclay Sound dialects on the one hand and Central and Northern dialects on the other, you'll see that they're very similar but not identical. Basically, the Barclay endings have more vowels, and the Central and Northern dialects have fewer vowels. I'm going to give you an example of how we can use the first four persons of the question mood in both of these dialects. And I'm going to use the word okay. Let's start with Central dialect. The usual word for okay is shah yut, shah yut. You've learned so far shah yutk. Shah yutk, which asks, are you okay? That uses the you ending of the question mood. But if I wanted to ask about myself, I would ask shah yutas. Shah yutas. Am I okay? Shah yutas. I'm using the same mood, different person ending. What if I wanted to ask about a he or a she? Is she okay? Shah yutta. Shah yutta. Is he or she okay? Shah yutta. Next, are we okay? Shah yuthen. Shah yuthen. Are we okay? I'm demonstrating different person endings of the same mood. Let's do that same exercise, but using Barclay Sound dialect. Our usual word for okay in Barclay Sound dialects is chechemhe. Chechemhe. Am I okay? Chechemhe has. Chechemhe has. Are you okay? Chechemhe hak. Chechim hehak. Is he or she okay? Chechim heha. Chechim heha. Are we okay? Chechim hehen. Chechim hehen. A very good exercise that will help you master the real or strong and question moods is to do exactly what Hinatinius and Cielo were demonstrating for us earlier, which is to take the word okay. One partner asks a question using one of the first four persons. I recommend, even though there are six persons, I recommend restricting yourself at the beginning to just the first four. I, you, he, she, it, and we, because those are the ones that are used the most. I recommend not going on to you all and they until you've mastered the first four persons. So partner A will ask a question using one of the first four persons of the question mood. For example, Shahyutas, Shahyutas, am I okay? Shahyutas. And then partner B's job is to respond appropriately. Yes, you're okay. Ha shahyutitsk. Ha shahyutitsk. Now I'm using the U ending of the strong mood. Shahyutitsk. Do you see the ending itsk under the strong mood? Shahyutitsk. What if partner A asks, Shahyut, is he okay? Shahyut. The answer will be, ha, shahyutish. Shahyutish. He's okay. Let's do that in Barkley Sound dialect. Are you okay? Chachimhehak. Chachimhehak. Yes, I'm okay. Ha, chachimhemah. Chachimhemah. Chachimhehen. Are we okay? Chachimhehen. Ha'a chachimhemin. Yes, we're okay. Ha'a chachimhemin. If you're a beginner, you will find this exercise challenging. But if you want to speak the language fluently, this needs to be effortless. So you need to be able to recognize the mood ending, identify the mood and the person, understand it, and then respond appropriately. I'm going to move on to talk about Unit 4, which is classroom. Before we go on to classroom, we've just had a question. Bev wants to break down the sentences. Shahyutiath, yuqaiath. Shahyutiath, take care. Literally, take care always. Shahyutiath. And the response, yuqaiath. You too. Literally, you do it always too. Yuqaiath. True, Charlotte. Shahyutiath uses the command mood. This is a mood that we have not discussed in detail yet, but we will be very soon. Let's compare Shahyutk, Shahyutsish, Shahyuti. These all have the same stem, but different moods. Shahyutk, are you okay? Question mood. Shahyutsish, I'm okay. Strong mood. Shahyuti, be okay, be well, command mood. Do you see how just changing the mood changes the entire orientation of the sentence? The ending "-ath," as Bev said, is the habitual ending. It's used for things that are done several times or regularly. So shahyuti means be okay, be well. Shahyuti-ath means always be well. This means I'm hoping that you're well every single day and not just right now. Shahyuti-ath. Yuqua'i'ath is the same sentence but with a different stem. The stem here is yuqua, which means also. Yuqua'i'ath. You also do it always. It's a short version of yuqua'i'ath shahyut. That would be the full sentence. Yuqua'i'ath shahyut. You also be okay always. Yuqua'i'ath shahyut. But because shahyut is already understood, we can drop it and just say yuqua'i'ath. We're now looking at the How's It Colloquiate version of Unit 4 on Classroom. There are four things that I would like to mention in this lecture, which have to do with Unit 4. These are the pointer words, the words for can and cannot, and the words for the command mood and go command mood. Let's start with the pointers. In our classroom unit, we have a simple conversation, conversation one, which allows us to talk about what some common classroom objects are called. Some of the classroom objects that we're learning the names of are klesyuk, pen or pencil, klesyuk, pipa, which is paper or document, pipa, klahex, which is a box, klahex, nachalyuk, or book, nachalyuk, Kwatsatsus, chair, kwatsatsus. And three different words for table. Tipin, tlisatsum, hawatsatsum, which we want to use depending on whether it's a writing table or an eating table. We're using these to make some very simple sentences. Akakahku, what is this? Akakahku, tlisyakish, it's a pen. Tlisyakish. Ha watsatsum ish. It's an eating table. Ha watsatsum ish. Hayum hesqiqi. I don't know what it is. Hayum hesqiqi. One of the other useful things that this conversation is teaching us is the negative response. There's a lot to know in order to make negative responses in Nuchanov. Hayum hesqiqi is one of the first examples that we'll see. You won't understand everything yet about how this sentence is put together, so I recommend starting by memorizing it. Hayum hesqiqi, I don't know what it is. Hayum hesqiqi. Later we will analyze it in detail. When we ask what things are, it's useful to use pointer words like ahku, akak ahku. What is this? Akak ahku. When I use the word ahku, I'm pointing to something that is very close by to me. Ahku corresponds to the English word this. But whereas English has only 2 degrees of distance in its pointers, ahku, sorry, the English pointers are this and that. This and that. This points to something closer to me, that points to something further from me. English distinguishes 2 degrees of distance in its pointers. Nuchanov, by contrast, distinguishes 4 degrees of distance. In Central dialect, the 4 degrees of distance are expressed by ahku, this, ahku, ahni, that by you, ahni, ha yahi, that over there, ha yahi, and ho yahi, that way over there, ho yahi. For short, I call these D1, D2, D3, and D4. In this unit, we're just trying to learn the first three. Ahku, ahni, ha yahe. Ha yahe is the long version of the D3 pointer. The short version is just ha. Ha yahe for long, ha for short. You can practice your pointers with conversation one. I recommend in your practice time doing conversation one with your partner and varying the pointer. The example given in your unit just uses ahku, akak ahku. When A asks akak ahku, what is this? B responds with ahni, pi pa ish ahni. That by you is paper. Do you see that something that from A's point of view is D1, ahku, from B's point of view will be D2, ahni. This is a very simple fact that English speakers need to work at learning because English does not make this distinction. While you're practicing this, I recommend varying what you're talking about between things close to you, things close to the person you're talking to, and things that are close to neither one of you. This will allow you to practice the first three pointers: ahku, ahni, ha. Ahku, ahni, ha. In Barkley Sound dialect, the first two are the same, but the third is different. Ahku, ahni, ya. Ahku, ahni, ya. In Cayucan dialect, the elders that I've worked with never say ha. They only say ha-ah, which is the long version. Ha-ah. Ahku, ahni, ha-ah. There's more to say about pointers. We will be coming back to this. For now, I advise you to work at learning and understanding the difference between D1, D2, and D3. And conversation one is a good way to practice this. Let's talk about the words for can and cannot. In most dialects of Nuchanov, the word for can or able is o-omhe, o-omhe, and we use this in our conversation asking for permission to use the washroom. O-omhe-s o-tsa-chit sh'ul. Can I go to the washroom? O-omhe-s o-tsa-chit sh'ul. The opposite of o-omhe is wit-mak-t, wit-mak-t. You'll see wit-mak-t in the words for the unit, wit-mak-t. When in real classrooms, when kids ask us to use the washroom, we always say yes because you generally want them to go. But it would all will also be good while you're practicing with your partner to practice the negative response, because this will be good practice for you. So you can play a fun game, and I found that little kids love this game, getting to tell their their peers whether they're allowed to go to the washroom or not. Partner A asks, "Om ha'etzk," and partner B gets to choose whether to say, "Om ha'etzk," you may, "Om ha'etzk," or "Witmachtitzk," you may not, "Witmachtitzk." Now, for those of you learning the East Barkly Sound dialect, you need to learn two words for can and two words for cannot, because East Barkly has unique words for this. In East Barkly dialect, you can use the same words as other dialects, Om Hay and Witmacht, but you also have the words chamush and wikma. So for can, in East Barkly dialect, you can say either chamush or Om Hay. Chamush, Om Hay mean the same thing. For cannot, you can say either witmacht or wikma. Witmacht, wikma. For those of you learning other dialects, you don't have to know how to say the East Barkly versions, but you need to be able to recognize them when you hear them. This way, you'll be able to speak your own dialect and at the same time communicate with speakers of the East Barkly Sound dialect, which is a very important dialect. Because it's the, for one reason, one thing, it's the urban center of the West Coast. Port Alberni is the largest city on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and it's right in the middle of East Barkly Sound territory. For another, the Tsuut'ina tribe is one of the largest Nuchanoth tribes, and its dialect is East Barkly Sound. I have one more topic to cover, and then we will have a few minutes for questions before we wrap up for the day. Last, I'm going to talk about command moods. So we're still looking at the Ahauzit colloquial versions of the classroom conversations. Let's take a look at conversation two. Conversation two is a very common one in the language classroom. In the language classroom, the teacher teaches new words and expressions and then wants the students to say them. So as a language teacher, I am often saying to people, "Wa'i." Wa'i, say it. Wa'i. I might be teaching them the phrase, "O'om heh sutsuchit," may I go to the washroom? Now I want you to say it. Wa'i o'om heh sutsuchit, say, may I go to the washroom? What happens to me every single year is kids start to learn that they just need to repeat everything that comes out of my mouth. And so when I tell them, "Wa'i o'om heh," they repeat, "Wa'i o'om heh," which is not what I'm telling them to say. When I say, may I, all I want you to say is, may I. I don't want you to repeat, say, may I. This is the first signal that the person you're talking to is not actually listening to you. They're just starting to parrot you. You will have to worry about this if you teach kids, and you probably will have to worry about it even if you teach adults. The mood ending in wa'i is the command mood ending. Once we learn the command mood ending, we can there's a lot that we can say in Nuchanoth, just using the real or strong mood, the question mood, and the command mood. Mastering these three or four moods allows us to make questions, statements, and commands. In the Barkly Sound version of these sentences, you'll see that the word wa undergoes what we call umlaut. When I say in Barkly Sound dialect, say it, I say we'i, we'i. The word for say is wa with a long a, wa, but when I add the command ending, that a becomes an e, we'i, we'i. We call this umlaut, and it's one of the things that makes the Barkly Sound dialect sound different from other dialects. The Barkly Sound dialect is the only one with widespread umlaut. Anytime you get an A followed by a glottal stop and then an I, you will get umlaut in Barkly Sound dialects. So we have an alternation in Barkly Sound dialects between A and E that we call umlaut. Now, last, let's take a look at conversation three. When we give someone permission to go to the washroom, we often say cha'alchi in Central and Northern dialects. Cha'alchi. In Barkly Sound, we can say wathlakchi, wathlakchi. Those expressions mean go ahead. Cha'alchi, go ahead and do it. Wathlakchi, go there, do it. We're using a fifth mood that we haven't talked about yet, which I call the go command mood. the ending that we see in Wa-E, say it, is the regular plain command ending. Wa-E. That's the regular command mood. But the ending we see in Cha'athchi is the go command ending. Cha'athchi. The difference is when I tell you Wa-E, I'm just telling you to do something. But when I tell you Cha'athchi, I'm telling you to go somewhere and then do something. And Nuchanoth has two different moods for this purpose. The plain command mood gives a plain command, Wa-E. Say it. Shah-yuti. Be well. But the go command mood tells you to go somewhere first and then do it. Cha'athchi. Go ahead. Be there. Wath-shit-chi. Go home. Wath-shit-chi. This will help you start to see how much work is done by the mood system in Nuchanoth. It's used for subtle distinctions like this, whether I'm giving you a plain command or telling you to go somewhere before doing it. That is the last lecture that we'll have on units 1 through 4. We have a few minutes for questions before we go. We've had a question about how the moods are summarized on the beginner's mood guide, and Lindsay P has noticed that the layout for the command moods looks different from the others. That's because most moods have six different endings for the six different persons, but commands are different. For example, there's no such thing as a command to myself, right? So there's no such thing as an I ending for the command. There are also no he, she, it endings for command moods. There are we endings for the commands. If you look at the bottom of page one of the beginner's mood guide, you'll see about eight different, seven or eight different endings for the command mood. The plain one, the most common one we use is in the upper left, E. This is the U ending of the command mood. Usually when you give a command, you're talking to a U. But we also have plural commands to you all. This is the distinction between Wa-E, say it, versus Wa-each, say it, you all. I can illustrate more endings if I use a word like Wath-shit. Wath-shit means to go home. If I say Wath-shi-i, I'm telling one person to go home. Wath-shi-i. If I tell more than one person to go home, I'll say Wath-shi-ich. Wath-shi-ich. And if I want us to go home, I'll say Wath-shi-in. Wath-shi-in. Let's go home. Wath-shi-in. Those are the three endings in the leftmost column of the command table. But in addition, there are also command endings with object marking, linguists would say. So for example, wa-e means say it, but wa-is means say it to me. Wa-is. When I say wa-is, the ending is actually agreeing both with the subject and with an object. The subject is the person or thing that the sentence is about. An object is a person or thing that is being done to. So many of the endings that extra endings that you see in the command chart are have what linguists call object agreement. They're indicating who is being done to, and this is a special property of the command endings. Most moods in Nuchanoth only agree with the subject and do not agree with the object. That's a short answer to your question. There's a lot more to say about it, which we might get into later in the course. Any other questions? Josh is noticing the ending eches in the chart. Yes, that's it does mean you guys do it to me. So for example, na'atah-i means you listen. Na'atah-ich means you guys listen. Na'atah-iches means you guys listen to me. Na'atah-iches. You'll see that this ending has a little mark by it, the plus sign in brackets. That means that it is not recognized by all learners. It is now an old, I'm sorry, by all elders. It is now an old-fashioned ending. So some elders still remember this ending and would understand you if you said na'atahiches. Other elders no longer use it, and they might not recognize it. Yeah, that's the power of a table. A table is a powerful way of laying out information. These mood charts are tables. Are there any other questions or remarks before we go? Thank you all for being with us for the first 3 days of our course. We are now done with our study of units 1 through 4, but your learning of units 1 through 4 needs to continue. It is very important that you all memorize the survival conversations associated with greetings and classroom. I highly recommend practicing them every single day, preferably with a partner, until you can produce them effortlessly from memory. Tomorrow's a day off, and we're going to come back on Friday. We've just had a comment from Carla that BrainScape is an app that makes flashcards with audio. So if you are a flashcard person, then you might try BrainScape. Another app that some people are using is Quizlet. And if you go on Quizlet, you'll find that there's already quite a few flashcards, some with audio, for Neuchanov. Juj, aha aksish una. That's all I have for today. I will see you at 12:30 or on Friday. Tsuk nas. Juj.